نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن خير الكلام كلام الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. وبعد، إخوتي في الله، نسأل الله تبارك وتعالى أن يشرح صدورنا وأن يحلل عقدة من لساني تفقه قولي. حديثنا اليوم إن شاء الله عن منهج السلف في طلب العلم. جاءت الآيات الكثيرة والأحاديث الصحيحة في الحض على طلب العلم، وبيان أنه فريضة من الفرائض، وأنه طريق إلى الجنة، وأن الحوت في البحر والنملة في بحرها تستغفر لمعلم الناس الخير. فمن ذلك ما ثبت عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال: طلب العلم فريضة على كل مسلم. وقول رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: من سلك طريقا يلتمس به علما سلك الله به طريقا إلى الجنة. وقوله صلى الله عليه وسلم: إن الملائكة لتضع أجنحتها لطالب العلم رضا بما يصنع. وقوله صلى الله عليه وسلم: إن الحوت في البحر والنملة في جحرها لتستغفر لمعلم الناس الخير. وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم أيضا: فضل العالم على العابد كفضلي على أدناكم. كل هذه الأحاديث تؤكد أهمية العلم، وأن السلف الصالح رضوان الله عليهم ينظرون إلى العلم أنه مسألة هامة ومسألة أساسية، وهو المنطلق في منهجهم، أن منهجهم مؤسس على العلم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، صلاة الله وسلامه على النبينا الكريم. The Sheikh began by reading خطبة الحاجة. And then he went on to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open up our hearts and to put the truth on his tongue so that his speech inshaAllah ta'ala will be understood. He went on to say that today's topic bi'idhnillah is going to be concerning a very important topic, and that is the way of the Salaf in acquiring and seeking out knowledge. He went on to say that we find many ayat of the Quran as well as many ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam go to tell and to explain to us the importance of searching out for knowledge, and that searching for knowledge is one of the obligations from those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made obligatory upon us. And that searching out for knowledge is one of the ways in which a person can go to paradise, as well as the fact that the fish in the sea and the ant in his hole make dua for the one who teaches the people good. He went on to say that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam has said in many authentic hadith, for an example, his statement, verily searching for knowledge is obligatory upon every single Muslim. And in another authentic hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever goes out in search of knowledge, Allah will make easy for him by that search the way to Jannah. Whoever goes out in search of knowledge, Allah will make easy for him because of that the road to Jannah. And in another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, verily the angels in the sky, or verily the angels lower their wings in humility for the student of knowledge because they are pleased with what he is doing. And yet another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, explaining the importance of seeking knowledge in this deen, verily the fish in the ocean and the ant that is in his hole makes istighfar or asks for forgiveness for the one who teaches the people good. The Shaykh went on to say, Ikhwan, in another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the virtues and the superiority of the scholar over the one who was given to much worship is like my superiority over the lowest one in rank from amongst you. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the scholar, the alim, his superiority and his virtues over the one who was given to worship or the abid, the example of that is like the example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the least of us in terms of our stature. He went on to say that all of these hadiths go to prove the importance of knowledge in the religion of al-Islam, and that the Salaf of this Ummah placed great importance and emphasis on the issue of studying knowledge, and that this studying knowledge is from the foundation from which their whole minhaj and understanding is taken from. And this foundation is supported totally by knowledge.
ولأهمية العلم وأنه أساس هذا الدين فإن أول آيات أنزلت على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم هي آيات تحض على العلم وتحض على وسائل العلم فقال تبارك وتعالى اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان من علق اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم. فهذه الآيات تحضنا على العلم وأن هذا العلم يجب أن يكون باسم الله وعلى منهج الله، فإذا صار الإنسان على طريق العلم يقرأ باسم الله وعلى منهج الله تبارك وتعالى فإنه سيتحصل على كرامة الله تبارك وتعالى، فإن الله تبارك وتعالى هو الأكرم فهو الكريم الذي إذا أعطى عطاء عظيما وإذا لم يعطي فلا ينفع عطاء غيره، فإن العطاء هو عطاء الله تبارك وتعالى، فمن أراد عطية الله ومن أراد أن يكرمه الله ومن أراد أن يعلمه الله تبارك وتعالى علم ما لم يعلم فليقرأ بسم الله وعلى منهج الله تبارك وتعالى. نعم.
الشيخ went on to say, as far as the importance of knowledge and the fact that it is the foundation of this religion, all we have to do is look at the fact that the very first ayat that were revealed in the Quran were ayats in which they encourage us to study and to seek for knowledge and to search out the ways of seeking knowledge. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said when He first revealed the ayat of the Quran, He said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, read in the name of your Lord who created mankind from a leech-like clot. Read, and your Lord is the most Akram, or the most generous, the one who has taught by the pen, and he has taught mankind that which he does not know. The Shaykh went on to say that these ayat, for the one who ponders them and reflects their meaning, we see that they encourage people to go out to study for knowledge, but not in any way, but to go out to study the knowledge, bismillah. To go out and study it, to study this knowledge and try to acquire it in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or with the name of Allah. He went on to say that you are to study this knowledge in the name of Allah, seeking the minhaj of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whoever does this, goes out to study for this knowledge, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed him to do so, he is going to receive the karama from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the virtues of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah ta'ala, He is Kareem, as He said in the ayah, the one who created, and He is Akram. He's going to receive this karama. because Allah, He is Kareem. And if Allah, tabaraka wa ta'ala, He gives someone from His karama or from His virtues, then there is no one who can take that thing away from him. And he has been given a lot of good. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not choose to give His servant the karama, then there is no one who can give him this karama. So whoever wants to obtain it, then let him know that what he has to do is he has to read in the name of Allah and the minhaj of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
ونبين ما هو العلم في منهج السلف، ما هو الشيء الذي يطلق عليه العلم عند السلف الصالح رضوان الله عليهم. العلم عند أهل الحديث والسلف الصالح رضوان الله عليهم هو كلام الله وكلام رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وفهم الصحابة رضوان الله عليهم. قال أحد الشعراء الحكماء، وهذا الكلام نقله ابن القيم في كثير من كتبه: العلم قال الله قال رسوله، قال الصحابة ليس للتمويه. ما العلم نصبك للخلاف جهالة بين رسول وبين رأي فقيه؟ كلا ولا جحد الصفات ينفيها حضرا من التشبيه من التعطيل والتشبيه. فالعلم قال الله قال رسول الله قال الصحابة، هذا هو العلم، يطلق على كلام الله وعلى كلام رسول الله وعلى أفهام صحابة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، وما دون ذلك ليس بعلم.
The Sheikh went on to say, after this ikhwan, we want to take this opportunity out to explain to you brothers what is knowledge to the Salaf. What did they consider to be knowledge? The word ilm or knowledge used to be said, when it was said, what was implied and what did they understand? What did the people of Ahlul Hadith understand knowledge to be? The people of the Salaf. He said that they understood that knowledge was the speech of Allah and the speech of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, according to the understanding of the Sahabas. The speech of Allah and the speech of His Prophet and Messenger according to the understanding of His Sahabas. He went on to say, and for this reason we find that one of the poets of the past, one of the wise people of the past, he has written some lines of poetry. These lines of poetry that Ibn al-Qayyim has written in many of his books, he said, in explaining what knowledge is, he said, knowledge is that Allah, what Allah said and His Prophet said and the Sahabas. And knowledge is not this ikhtilaf that you've come up with or the opinions of your imam or this fiqh, the faqih. The man who's a faqih is not the ikhtilaf that they've come up with. But knowledge is what Allah said, what the Prophet said, and what the Salaf has understood, and not these points of differences that have come up, nor what the faqih said. He said that the knowledge is not you denying the signs of Allah, nor the names of Allah, but it is what has been established by what he said originally.
ولذلك فإن أهل العلم أخرجوا أهل التقليد والذين يتعصبون للمذاهب وغير ذلك يتعصبون لأقوال الرجال المصادمة للدليل، أخرجوهم من زمرة العلماء. فقد قال الطحاوي رحمه الله: لا يقلد إلا جاهل أو غبي. ونقل ابن عبد البر في جامع بيان العلم وفضله وابن القيم في إعلام الموقعين أن العلماء اتفقوا على أن المقلد ليس من زمرة العلماء. ونقل ابن الهمام وواحد علماء الحنفية أن المقلد لا ينصب مفتيا ولا قاضيا. إذن من هنا نفهم أن العالم هو الذي يعلم الناس كتاب الله ويعلمهم سنة رسول الله ويتقيد في ذلك بفهم السلف الصالح رضوان الله عليهم. وهناك أمر لا بد من بيانه، وأنه يتدرج في تعليم الناس من السهل إلى الصعب، من الصغير إلى الكبير، من الذي تطيقه عقولهم إلى الذي لا تطيقه. وهذا ما جاء في تفسيرات السلف للعالم الرباني في قول الله تبارك وتعالى ولكن كونوا ربانيين بما كنتم تعلمون الكتابة وبما كنتم تدرسون. جاء في صحيح البخاري أن الرباني هو الذي يربي الناس على صغار العلم قبل كباره، ولذلك فإن العالم الذي يستحق المدح ويستحق أن يقتدى به ويستحق أن تكون له منزلة في دين الله تبارك وتعالى هو العالم الإنسان الذي يعلم الناس كتاب الله وسنة رسول الله ويتقيد وفهم السلف الصالح رضوان الله عليهم ويتدرج في تعليم الأمة وفي تربيتها وفي تطبيقها لدينها من صغار العلم إلى كباره، لأن الذي لا يطبق صغار العلم لا يمكن أن يطبق كبار العلم، والذي يعجز عن تطبيق ما يطيق هو عن تطبيق ما لا يطيق أعجز، وهذا أمر مهم ينبغي أن نتفطن إليه.
The Sheikh went on to say, for this reason, Ikhwan, after giving the explanation of what knowledge is, that it's what the Prophet, what Allah said in his Prophet, and what the Sahaba said and understood, he said, for this reason, the scholars of Al-Islam, they have put outside of the realm of those who are considered to be the people of knowledge, the people of ilm, they have thrown outside of that circle the people of taqlid. The blind followers have been thrown outside of the circle of those who are considered to be people with knowledge. He went on to say that many of the ulama of the past, they have done this. They have excluded the muqallida, the people who are making blind following outside of this. He said that the reason for that is that as Al-Imam al-Tahawi said, he said, no one makes taqlid except a person who's jahil, he's ignorant, or he's ghabi, he's foolish. This is the statement of Al-Imam al-Tahawi. No one makes taqlid or blindly follows anyone except a person who's jahil, he's ignorant, or he's ghabi, he's foolish, stupid. And he also went on to say that Al-Imam Ibn Abdul Barr has written in his book, Jami' Bayan al-Ilm wa Fadlihi, as well as Ibn Rajab, they both written their books, this statement that all of the ulama are muttafiqun, or they are united and understanding that the person who is a blind follower cannot be considered a scholar. And then he went on to say that Ibn Hammam, as well as some other scholars from the Hanafi madhhab, they wrote in their book that the mufti and the qadi cannot be a person who's a scholar. The scholar is not, the mufti and the qadi cannot be a person who blindly follows. He went on to say, Ikhwan, so therefore we understand that the scholar is the one who teaches the people the kitab and the sunnah according to the understanding of the salaf of this ummah. He went on to say that there's an issue that is very important that we cannot fail to mention here, and that issue is that the scholar is the one who understands that it is his duty to teach the people in degrees. That what he does is when he begins to teach the people, he begins with the knowledge that is small. And in degrees, he works towards teaching them the knowledge that is big. He teaches them what is easy to understand and to comprehend and easy to conceptualize. And then from there, he starts to teach them, according to their understanding, the knowledge that may be a bit more difficult. He went on to say, the alim, or the one who has knowledge, is the one who teaches the people according to the level of their understanding and their intellect. The Sheikh went on to say, and that's why the scholar cannot be considered to be a Rabbani until he is the one who teaches the people in degrees. And this is why we find in the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and be like those people who are the Rabbaniyin, the people who used to teach the people what they used to learn from the book and following their way. The Sheikh went on to say that Al-Imam al-Bukhari went on to give the tafsir of this ayat by saying, the Rabbaniyun are those people who give the people tarbiyah. How? Giving them the small knowledge before teaching them the big knowledge. And then the Sheikh went on to say, so therefore, Ikhwan, the scholar or the alim who has the right to be obeyed and who has the right to be looked at with respect who has the right for us to put him in the high place, he is the one who teaches the Quran and the Sunnah according to the understanding of the Salaf, all the while applying the concept of teaching in degrees. He went on to say, as for the one who this is not his methodology, then it doesn't make sense for us to think that if he's calling the people to apply that which is difficult and that which is big, that it is, does not make any sense for us to think that the people are going to be able to apply that which is easy and that which is small if they were to leave that to go first to that which is big and difficult.
والعلم يا أحبائي من منظور السلف الصالح رضوان الله عليه هو سبب الخير في الأمة ورفعه سبب الشر في الأمة ويستدلون على ذلك أن الشرك داخل البشرية في أول أمرها بسبب تنسخ العلم ورفع العلم كما جاء عن ابن عباس في صحيح البخاري أنه فسر قول الله تبارك وتعالى في سورة نوح وقالوا لا تذرن آلهتكم ولا تذرن ودا ولا سواع ولا يعوق ويغوث ونسرا قال هذه أسماء رجال صالحين فلما ماتوا أوحى الشيطان إلى أتباعهم أن اتخذ لهم تماثيل فلما طال الأمد وتنسخ العلم عبدت من دون الله تبارك وتعالى الشاهد أنه قال لما طال عليهم الأمد وتنسخ العلم عبدت هذه التماثيل من دون الله تبارك وتعالى ومعروف أن البشرية بين آدم ونوح كانت على ملة التوحيد كانت على ملة واحدة كان الناس أمة واحدة كانوا على دين الله تبارك وتعالى ولذلك قال الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم أول رسول أرسل إلى الناس هو نوح نوح لأن أول شرك في البشرية هو شرك الذي دخل قوم نوح وسببه تنسخ العلم ويقول العلماء أيضا أن الشرك في آخر هذه الأمة يكون سببه تنقص العلم وتنسخ العلم فالرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم أخبر بأن هذه الأمة سيعود منها أناس ليس كلها فهي معصومة من الشرك ومعصومة من الضلال ولكن سيعود منها فئام إلى المشركين يقول الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تقوم الساعة حتى يلحق فئام من أمته المشركين ويقول الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تقوم الساعة حتى تعبد اللات والعزى ويقول الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تقوم الساعة حتى تضطرب أليات نساء دوس حول ذي الخلصة وهذه كلها دلالة على أن هناك من سيشرك بالله وسيعبد غير الله تبارك وتعالى يقول العلماء أن سبب هذا هو تنسخ العلم وقلة العلماء لأن الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم بين في كثير من الحديث أن البلاء والفتان والمعاصي تنزل في الأمة بسبب رفع العلم يقول الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم إن بين يدي الساعة أياما يرفع فيها العلم وينزل فيها الجهل ويكثر الهرج قال ومن الهرج يا رسول الله قال القتل وفي رواية ويكثر الزنا وشرب الخمر كل هذه المعاصي والموبقات بسبب إيش؟ رفع العلم ونزول الجهل شو الجهل فيقول أهل العلم من السلف صالح رضوان الله عليهم أن العلم سبب الخير في الأمة سبب الخير في الأمة وهذا فهم سلفي صحيح عليه حديث وآثار من السلف الصالح رضوان الله عليهم أن العلم وجود العلم والعلماء سبب الخير في الأمة وقلة العلم والعلماء سبب الشر في الأمة عن أنس رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما يأتي زمان إلا والذي يليه شر منه اختلف العلماء كيف يكون الذي يليه شر منه وقد جاء مثلا أمثلة زمن الحجاج شر وجاء زمن عمر بن عبد العزيز خير لكن الحافظ ابن حجر رحمة الله عليه نقل أثرا عن ابن مسعود يبين هذا الفهم السلفي للخيرية بسبب العلم قال لا أقول عام أخصر من عام ولكن بقلة العلماء قلة العلماء، فكل عام يليه يكون ينقص أهل العلم، ينقص أهل العلم. فإذا نقص أهل العلم ورفع العلم زاد الشر وفشل الجهل واتخذ الناس رؤوسا جخالا والعياذ بالله.
The Sheikh went on to say that, so therefore, Ikhwan, the ilm in the manzoor of the Salaf or in the eyesight of the Salaf, he went on to say that the presence of knowledge, as many of them said, is a reason for the good of this ummah. And whatever we find, the absence of knowledge is going to be a reason for the evil being widespread in this ummah. The Sheikh went on to say that this lesson or this point comes across to us clearly in so many examples. One of the clearest ones and most important ones is that when we look at the people who first committed shirk, the people who first started to worship other things along with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these people did so because of their lack of knowledge, as the hadith of Ibn Abbas clearly shows us. This hadith has been collected by Imam al-Bukhari. Ibn Abbas was given the tafsir of one of the ayahs in Surah al-Nuh and the Surah of Noah, in which the people of Noah said, do not leave your God for this God that Noah is calling you to. And he went on to name the names of those gods. Ibn Abbas said that the meaning of this ayat is that these people, they were worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these five men who were mentioned in this ayat, Shaytan, when they died, when these five men died, Shaytan came to their people. And Shaytan said to their people, why don't you worship these five men? And the people refused to do so at first. And then Shaytan came to their descendants, the children of those people. And he said to them, and the knowledge was taken from them, from the children. And he said, why don't you people make some idols out of these people so that they can remind you every time you see them of Allah? So therefore, when they did that, the people started to worship other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh said here, in the statement of Ibn Abbas, when he said that the knowledge was taken away, it shows us that this is the reason why the people first started to make shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because at the beginning, from the time of Adam to the time of Noah, the whole duration of that time, the people used to be on a tawheed, on the oneness of Allah. And they used to be on one deen. And they used to be on one millah, on one way. They all worshiped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had to send the first prophet to them, and the Shaykh asked, who was the first messenger sent to the people? He went on to recite the hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, verily the first messenger who was sent to the people was Noah. He went on to tell us, Ikhwan, that the ulama of al-Islam, they have told us that just as shirk came into the beginning of the ummah, the beginning of the sons of Adam, likewise, shirk is going to come as a reason. Shirk is going to affect the last people from this ummah. And the reason why it's going to happen is because knowledge is going to be raised up from the ummah. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained to us in so many hadith when he said, for an example, the hour will not be established until a group of my ummah start to become like the mushrikeen, like the polytheists. The Shaykh went on to say, not all of the ummah, because all of the ummah has been protected from falling into shirk collectively. But the hadith said, the hour will not be established until a group of people from my ummah, they start to act and imitate the mushrikeen. Also in another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that the hour will not be established until Allah and Uzza are once again worshipped by people from my community. And in yet another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said the hour will not be established until some women from the tribe of adults, until they also start to worship other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, Ikhwan, the ulama or the scholars of Al-Islam, they have told us that the reason for this is because at the end of time, the knowledge is going to be raised from the people. And whenever the knowledge is raised from the people, as we have seen, then the community of the Muslims is going to be affected by trials and tribulations and by disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So So the Shaykh went on to say to us, Ikhwan, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had told us that in the last days, knowledge will be raised out of the people, and ignorance will spread through them rampantly, and haraj will be in them. So the Sahaba said, O Masjid of Allah, what is al-haraj? He said, al-qatl, or killing, is going to be widespread. In another narration or variation of this hadith, the Prophet added, and also zina, or illicit sexual activities, are going to be on the increase, and the drinking of khamr. So the Shaykh said, obviously, these things are going to only be done when there's not going to be any knowledge. And for that reason, the ulama of Islam and the ulama of the Salaf, they said that the reason for the good taking place in this ummah is because of the presence of knowledge. And the reason for evil affecting the ummah is because the lack of knowledge. As the hadith of Anas ibn Malik clearly shows us, in that Anas ibn Malik said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there is not a year that comes except the year that comes after it is worse than it. Every year that comes, the year that follows it, is worse than the year that preceded it. The Shaykh went on to say that the ulama of Al-Islam, they have differences of opinion concerning the meaning of this hadith. There's some ikhtilaf from the ulama in the meaning of this hadith, that every year that comes, the next year is worse than it. Why do they have ikhtilaf? Because we see that during the time of Hajjaj, there were good people like also Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, who was a good person. The Shaykh went on to say that Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, rahimahullah ta'ala, he has explained the meaning of the hadith by saying, the year here does not mean the year in itself as time, but it means that every year that comes, the ulama of that time are going to be less and few, and that's why it's worse than the year that went before. So the Shaykh went on to say that if this happens, that the ulama are going to be few, then the people, the ammat al-nas, the people, are going to take as leaders the ignorant people.
فمما سبق تبين لنا أن الخير بسبب العلم وأن الذي ينبغي أن يقود الناس هم العلماء. وانظروا إذا عندما بعث الله طالوت ملكا لبني إسرائيل، ما هي الصفات التي حباه بها حتى يؤهله لقيادة بني إسرائيل في الآيات التي وردت في سورة البقرة؟ أن الله سبحانه وتعالى زاده بسطة في الجسم والعلم. من ذلك نستخلص ونستنتج أن الذين القادة الحقيقيين للأمة هم العلماء، وعندما يتولى الناس عن العلماء يتصدر أهل الجهل، وإذا تصدر أهل الجهل يفسدوا. يقول الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم، إن الله لا ينتزع العلم انتزاعا ولكن بقبض العلماء، حتى إذا لم يبق عالما اتخذ الناس رؤوسا جهالا فأفتوا فسئلوا فأفتوا بغير علم فضلوا أضلوا. إذن العلماء إذا لم يكونوا هم أهل القيادة الحقيقية بالأمة سيكون أهل القيادة الجهال، وحينئذ يسود الجهل ويسود الشر بين الناس عياذا بالله.
The Shaykh went on to say that from what has proceeded, Ikhwan, we understand that the reason of the good coming to our ummah is the presence of knowledge in the ummah. And from what has passed, from the explanation that he has given so far, also clearly shows us that the ulama are the ones who have the right to lead the people in their affairs. The Shaykh went on to say, all we have to do again is look at Talut, who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent as a king over Bani Israel. Talut meaning Saul. All we have to do is look at the characteristics or the description that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described Saul when he sent him to Bani Israel in the Quran. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala described him as what he said, and we have increased him. Saul, we increased him in bodily prowess, he was strong, and we increased him in knowledge, in ilm. The Shaykh went on to say that this ayat is proof. Since Saul was sent to Bani Israel as a king, as a leader, this ayat is proof that the true leaders who have the right to lead the people and to take responsibility of the affairs, they are the ulama, those who have been endowed and blessed with knowledge. As for the ignorant and the foolish people, when they become in positions of leadership and they're the ones who take care of the affairs of the people, then they do nothing except to create fasad or evil in the earth. He said, because whenever the people take these foolish ones, this is when the problem starts. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in an authentic hadith, verily Allah will not snatch the knowledge out of the hearts of the people by just snatching it out, but he would take the knowledge away by taking the scholars away, by causing them to die, until there remains no scholars. And so the people, as a result of that, will begin to take the foolish, ignorant ones as their leaders. So they would ask them for the fatwa. The people would start to ask those foolish leaders for fatwa. So the foolish ones will give them the fatwa. The foolish ones will go astray, and they'll lead the other people astray.
وبعد هذا فنقول لا بد لطلاب العلم إذن أن يحرصوا على سماع العلم من أهل العلم. لا بد أن يحرص طلاب العلم المتعلم، لا بد أن يحرص على سماع العلم من مصدره، من أهله. فالسماع هو الطريق الأولى لطلب العلم. يقول الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم نظر الله مريان سمع مقالتي، سمع مقالتي. فهنا بين الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم إحدى وسائل طلب العلم هي السماع، ومن لم يتيسر له السماع يسأل أهل العلم، سؤال أهل العلم، فاسألوا أهل الذكر إن كنتم لا تعلمون. فلا بد أن يدور طلب العلم حول التلقي من العلماء، حول التلقي من العلماء. يقول ابن القيم رحمه الله والجهل داء قاتل ودواؤه أمران في التركيب متفقان. نص من كتابنا ومن سنة وطبيب ذاك العالم الرباني. الجهل داء قاتل، دواؤه أمران في التركيب متفقان، أي هما من عند الله تبارك وتعالى. الأمر الأول نص من الكتاب، والأمر الثاني نص من السنة. ومن الذي يصف العلاج للداء؟ الطبيب. هو طبيب ذاك العالم الرباني. نعم.
The Sheikh went on to say, Ikhwan, so therefore, it is absolutely necessary for the students of knowledge to have the hirs, or to pay attention, so that they will know that they need to take the knowledge from the people of knowledge. The students of knowledge should realize and understand that knowledge should be taken from the people who possess it. And that the muta'allim, the person who is on the way to study, and the student, he has to listen to the knowledge from its fountain, from the place where the knowledge comes from, and the people of knowledge. So therefore we understand that the first step in getting knowledge is listening, to be present in your body so that you can have the ability to listen to what's being said. He said that the proof of that is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which the Prophet said, may Allah bless, may Allah give light, may Allah bless the person who hears my statement. The Shaykh said that Allah's Prophet used the word who hears my statement as proof that the first step in getting the knowledge is to go and hear the knowledge directly from the people who possess it. As for those who don't have the opportunity, nor have they been given the ability to go to listen, then to go to hear for themselves, then what they have to do is they have to use the su'ab, they have to ask the people of knowledge. As Allah tabarak wa ta'ala said in the Quran, ask the people of knowledge if you don't know. The Shaykh went on to recite to us some of the poetry of Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, in which Ibn al-Qayyim said, ignorance is a disease that kills, and its medicine is two things. These two things meet at the same place. Text from the Quran, from the Kitab, and text from the Sunnah. And the tabib, or the one who administers to this sick person and he gives them this medicine, is the Alim Rabbani. The Sheikh went on to clarify and to explain this. He went on to say that ignorance, to be ignorant about your religion, about something, is a sickness that can cause, that is a killer. And this sickness can only be cured with medicine. And this medicine, it comes from Allah, the Quran and the Sunnah, the text from Allah and His Messenger. And the one who gives that is, like we said, the scholar who was Rabbani.
والذي يجب على المسلم أول ما يجب أمور. أولا أن يتعلم أمور التوحيد ومسائل الإيمان لقول الله تعالى فاعلم أنه لا إله إلا الله، وقول رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فأول ما تدعون إليه شهادة أن لا إله إلا الله. فالتوحيد أول ما يجب على المكلف أن يعلم ما يصحح به عقيدته وحقوق هذه العقيدة ونواقضها، هذا أول ما يجب على المكلف، لأن طلب العلم فريضة، طلب العلم فريضة. الأمر الثاني أن يتعلم أمور التي تجب عليه عينيا كمسائل الطهارة، فإنه هنا تجب على كل مكلف، ومسائل الصلاة فإن الصلاة تجب على كل مكلف، ومسائل الصيام فإنها تجب على كل مكلف. ثم يفترق الناس حسب أوضاعهم وحسب اهتماماتهم، فمن بلغ ماله النصاب ينبغي عليه أن يتعلم أحكام الزكاة، ومن ملك الزاد والراحلة والقدرة أمن الطريق عليه أن يتعلم أحكام الحج، ومن كان تاجرا تعلم أحكام التجارة، وقس على ذلك، وقس على ذلك.
الشيخ said, إخوان, as for the things that are necessary for the Muslim to learn concerning his religion, and as it relates to knowledge, is that he needs to learn a few things. The first thing that he needs to focus upon and to concentrate his efforts on is that he has to learn about the issues that are connected to at-tawheed, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his ideology and his creed and his belief system. The reason for that is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered us in the Quran with that, in that He says, and know that verily there is no God worthy of worship except Allah. And also because of the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why does the person have to learn the tawheed first? Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Mu'adh when he sent him to the people to call them to what first? He said, the first thing that you call them to is that they make the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Shaykh went on to say that every single mukallaf, every single person who is of age, and he has his intellect with him, his mental faculties with him, every single person is required to know about his tawheed and his aqeedah.